Boy, I tell you, I've got a heck of a backlog of recordings here. So I think I've got the physicality of the computerized gateway to Zion at Tucumcari branding. I think that's pretty much been worked out, and it's a good thing. This is and now it's kind of to talk about, you know, I don't really put tons and tons of stock into the goal and the mission, although these are good things. Every company, so, you know, and can I say many of these missions and purposes and goals are really kind of stupidly thoughtless. And even though they're true, it's like you have to breathe to stay alive. You know, this is some of the funnest mission statements I've ever seen is keep breathing. And it's like, well, I intend to, and I don't intend to put much effort into it. You know, and you go, well, then that makes for kind of a silly mission because you don't need to do that. That's usually done by people who are being sarcastic, and it's fun that way. But you know, missions are a funny thing. Almost every college I ever worked at, and I've worked at a few, you know, they all say, oh, it's all about student success, student success, student success. And you go, you know what? It says, boy, no wonder colleges can go down, because you're actually basing your whole purpose in life on something that you can't really control. And to a large extent, what you shouldn't be concerned for. That's the learner's concern, not yours. And you go, why are you doing that? It's a stupid thing. What separates you from somebody else? And you go, well, the old differentiators were that you had a unique program. People would come to your school to learn a certain thing. Now, you know, it's been all screwed up, I tell you. Let me tell you. Public education has ruined the process of learning. Just absolutely destroyed it. Enterprising people can still learn a lot, while colleges bumble around on certain things. But I can tell you, I trust a factory school. I trust an industrial training program. I trust all these things far better than I trust a publicly funded, generalized, liberal education thing. Now, oh wait, you know what? I actually like a liberal education because it does great things toward broadening you. But at the end of the day, you know, there's not much. Most places don't want to give you that anymore, you know. And almost every school says that's the very heart of what they do these days, is this broadening. There was one school that I went to which strove to be broad. It was actually a teaching college. It was set up that way. And I was a proponent to to going back to that, to say, concentrate on education, education, education. And they say, well, the problem is, you know, it doesn't matter how many teachers we churn out, most of them don't end up as teachers. And you go, okay, you know, it says, in the fact that it tends to be kind of a liberalized education, broad in scope, so that you have a good platform upon which to build, that isn't a bad thing. It says, but the other problem is, in modern education, is that it's become kind of a mind game. The whole point originally of teacher colleges was that the people that you would hire to teach at your local public school wasn't going to be as ignorant as the students being taught. That they needed to have somewhat of a broad grounding, especially for elementary school, to try and help people to give them avenues for expansion. Your teacher was always supposed to be this brilliant person that your kid could aspire to be, you know, and all the great, can I be honest, we always do this, all the great movies about teaching, and it always falls down to kind of coaching, and is all about inspiring drive and inspiration. Well, I'm repeat myself. It's how do you inspire people and giving them drive, giving them a purpose, and having them work toward that purpose. I always thought it was there was one avenue of it, which was basically to inform them about inspirational figures of accomplishment, so that these people would want to be accomplished people. The only problem was in doing that, the huge number of people that were ultimately needed to do kind of uninspired work were left with this kind of gut for dissatisfaction. You know, the old fisherman going out, and there's, you know, and it really becomes a skill set that you build up over time. You can pass some of it on, but it's mostly kind of a generational, almost family thing. And what does school do to that? It actually breeds a contempt for what is usually considered mundane work. And when you throw what's a good word for it? Everything ends up having its model. You know, bells, going to certain classes, doing basically 5 or 6 things at once, which is just insane. I don't know who came up with with the whole idea of doing different classes at different times, you know? It really takes away from the whole idea of concentration. I wasn't going to talk about this. I was just talking about missions and purposes and trying to come up with what you're going to be about. And it's a trap to fall into that says, well, we've educated you. And you go, no, you've just passed a bunch of tests and stuff like that. People do best when they tend to do or tend to apply themselves to one thing at a time. You know, if you're teaching somebody about basic math, and let me tell you, basic math is all that's required. When everybody says, well, we need to raise our math standards because we need more engineers, and you do that generally, and you kind of use it as a kind of a vetting tool, but you stick it into the regular, ordinary day, you know, kind of failure business, and then you say, this is really, really important. And you look at, like, English and literature, and you break that down into kind of the weird, chopped up things of phonics, and what are some of the other things that you have to get weird about? You know, these things are just silly, chunked up like that. Everybody thinks of it that way. I don't know how school got to be that way. You know, people would say, oh, I love the whole motif of the one-room schoolhouse. And you go, well, you go, I don't. I think it's a, I think that's what got us into the chunked up things. Well, it looks like you're tired of math. So let's go on. Let's do something else instead. And you go, but you know what? You know, school tries to do too many things. It's been tasked with too many problems. Anyway, it means that you have a lack of focus. And the whole stupid idea of student success, which is like, well, number one, duh. But you know what? The student has to be far more interested in their own success than your teacher is. Because then you're kind of whipping people. You know, you'll be successful whether you want to be a success or not. Blah, 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 blah. And it gets to be like that. And most schools of education, the thing they predominantly end up teaching is current fads in pedagogy. I am not a pedagogy sort of a guy. I am not into the science of any of this stuff. I think science is a process or a methodology that has some application, but that also leads you down kind of a goofy road. And it's kind of taught us that you can teach anybody a process or a thing, and I don't know, and it doesn't, and you don't have to be particularly smart to apply it. This is, and that's kind of the interesting thing about science. Science doesn't involve intelligence. It's this repetitive, hitting your head against the brick wall kind of Thomas Edison sort of thing. And it really is something that only a handful of people employ or use. anyway, I'm sorry. So the whole thing is to have a good sense of mission. And apparently about this computerized thing, it's different things for different people, I think. It needs to be sufficiently open so that people computers so often computers so often just kind of are all about, security, only to a certain amount of people. CIA, confidentiality, integrity, and accessibility. And when it comes down to it, I personally don't want to be a CIA guy until it becomes necessary. So much activity and time is spent trying to break into systems. If you run an authentication system long enough, well, it's not even about doing it long enough. If you run an authentication system and you look at its logs, you see all of the attempts to get past the authentication system somehow. And I've always been kind of wondering there is an authentication piece of that where it says, are you who you say you are? And this is usually done through a password. Then there is a authorization piece, which is all about, are you supposed to be here? Can you get here being who you are? So first you determine who they are, and then you determine are they supposed to be here. I can only imagine that this has been a compounding problem for many, many years, which I don't think has a very simple solution. Even the temple itself, they're called tokens and signs that you use to gain access to better things, to help identify each other as brothers or fellow servants. The term that's often used is angels that stand as sentinels to help you know what to do. So, you kind of fight a losing battle trying to make it these things. But it becomes a question of where do you establish these boundary lines? And with the bulletin board system, it really has to do with what you try to do. When you get to one level, does it allow you to do certain things? Are there abilities that you're allowed to do? And how does that stretch into other things? There are even huge pieces where it's just all open, like a vast majority of my web stuff is simply open. So anyway, when you look at these casual people coming along, and you say to yourself, if somebody comes presenting a credential, but it's the wrong one, what do you do with them? Do you just say you're barred from entry? Or do you let them into a world that is basically open to them? This was kind of the thing about a honeypot, was the whole idea that you had you would go ahead and let people in and give them things to do, ways to play around, stuff like that. You didn't not let them in, but you would put them off in a whole nother place and let them play. Because those who come at something for a nefarious purpose, for instance, when some of the Lamanites became anti-Nephi Lehis, and they became kind of the kind of enemy of their brothers and sisters, it was the Lamanites would build up this group of people. You know, you can't even hardly think that it was an army, but it could have been. And then they would go and they would come to threaten you, come to tell you to come back, come to stop telling you to do what the Nephites were telling them to do, because the Nephites will lead you in horrible paths. Not really, but anyway, they had gotten rid of their arms. They had thrown down their arms. Actually, they had dug a pit and thrown them in there so they wouldn't be tempted to ever use them again. And they would have to just offer themselves and say, hey, if you want to kill us, you can. And in letting them in, and letting them do what they were going to do, they discovered kind of, how do you want to say it? They discovered, number one, that these people were not their enemies. And this was all really good. And then those guys would say, you know what, I don't wanna kill you. You know, I'm gonna throw down my weapons and I'm gonna join you. Now you can say, oh, that's pretty Pollyannish, but to be honest, there are a lot of people that are recruited for this kind of work, for these kinds of things. And they're just kind of along for the ride. And when presented with the opportunity to be a certain way and to do a certain thing, they stop and they say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't my thing. Anyway, so that's an interesting idea, is from an authentication standpoint. If somebody doesn't authenticate themselves properly on some level, you let them in as a guest and you give them opportunities to still come and find and do and work and bring. And you make it so that you can circle back around to authentication if you figured out that you were wrong. It'll automatically dump you to guest area, and then you can go back into the system to say, no, I'm better than this. You know, I'm this person. It's like, okay, well, try again. Without you having, you know, there's the most easy way to do that is to jump back out and try to jump back in with that authentication. But don't just say no. Say, come on in. I don't know who you are, but come on in. You know, the whole idea of being welcoming and letting people in, and if they come as something, you let them in as a guest. This is almost kind of a hall of hospitality. And then it becomes a thing about signs and pass keys to get to certain places. So you want to present to people an environment that is for everyone, but allows you to authenticate yourself and say that you are a certain person or a certain thing. The whole thing is to let people walk in. You know, it's almost like, go ahead, give me a name. Give me a name that you want to be known by. And if it's a name that's already known, you know, you just drop them back to being a guest. And then it becomes your responsibility to put in a really crappy little password that doesn't really, or a, you know, nothing, then anybody can be you. It can do what you do. So, I don't know. Do you retool things to make that work? There's already a certain multi-level sort of knowledge base. I don't know. Anyway, I really like the idea that when somebody comes knocking on the door, you go ahead and open the door. You open the door to them even if it's wrong. And you make them and they just come in as a guest. Okay, and that goes with what part of the mission might be, is saying, you know, come on in, sit down, access this resource. But you also want better things that are only available to those who, to a certain extent, have proven themselves. And that's where it's like, well, do you really use the Synchronet BBS kind of way of doing it? SSH is tricky because it actually requires you to authenticate. So, and it is definitely that whole boom, 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 and you can't get in. So that kind of stays the way it is. And whoever comes, you want them to get something. You want them to see something and have it be good, personalized to them. The old message of the day. So do you want people to use Telnet? You go, yeah. Especially if they're just visitors. Anyway, so the whole idea of being kind of personalized and interactive. Because there's going to be a lot of brush bys. Of course, we have the whole web part, which provides an informational access. Okay. But I kind of like the whole idea of that. So for the passerby, there's always something. You are always welcomed in, and there's always something available to the passerby. To those who seek, you want to give them the opportunity to seek. And make your way so that you can. It seems all very, very good. Well, you know, you can kind of do it as a game. I kind of like the fact that at the Gateway to Zion, there is a gateway. There is a place where people can go that, I don't know, for lack of a better term, don't belong there. And you get shuttled one way or the other. You know, oh, it says, I know you. Please come in. Or, you are a stranger here, or, you know, but please come in, and we will offer you, you know, and come be a part of what we do and what we are, you know, and that you can prove yourself to certain levels of understanding to be able to do things. I'm a guy that likes multiple choice questions, you know, and a score, and you are tested. You don't have to present it that way. And I think that's kind of what's happened in the temple, is that they've kind of washed out a lot of that stuff. I mean, that's still what's going on, but it isn't really stated that way. But you go through this testing algorithm, and I kind of like that. So we probably need to learn a whole lot about this thing, because we're probably going to be changing up menus to make it more that you have to kind of run through a bit of a gauntlet to get more authority to be able to do something. And although you can skip some of it with other things, see, I don't know. Make it more temple-ish. It's all up in the sky. I don't think you can just leave things open for people who don't have much authority. You can't let guests post things. It's just not a thing, because it needs to have a bit of a handle to it, especially on the quick message boards. You can't hide your lying eyes. And your smile is a thin disguise. I thought by now you'd realize. I'm sorry, now I'm singing. Ain't no way to hide your lying eyes. Ooh, it's chilly out there. But I don't want, anyway. I need air. Give me air! Have I already gone too far? I hope not. Well, if nothing else, it dumps me on the larger road. So the message board stuff is pretty low. Pretty low and basic, and doesn't need a lot of stuff. Here it is, good. I I missed my turn there for a second, but I haven't. Good. Oh, morning. I'm thinking about this stuff. It would be good to have it so that people make people feel like it's a game. There's a certain amount of leveling up to get to accomplish something. and you want things to go kind of cool that way. You know, it's starting to feel more like the old text adventures. And you want to kind of get in that spot in the middle. Number one, I like it in that it's web accessible. You can get to it. But you kind of want it to be accommodating of unidentified anonymous people, which is partially what Synchronet's able to do. So we probably need to get on some level, hopefully not too bad, into the guts of Synchronet to let it to kind of have it switch gears. You know, when you authenticate wrong, you are in as a guest, and guests have certain capacities, and there's a lot of things you can do as a guest. But when you want to go further, you can go further. But then I kind of want it to be, you know, God's kind of a God of order. It's important that we do things like that. Although it'd be great to kind of include kind of the creative process. At some point, be able to go off to where you're creating spaces for people to be. The whole thing about objects and stuff like that is rather interesting. A file as an object's kind of cool, because free form's a little tricky for people. What am I trying to think of? I'm trying to think of a kind of like one of those scum VM things where it just presents you with different opportunities, different places to go, things like that. But that you have kind of, it's more canned than the real out there loosey goosey. You've got to get really good at building a world and stuff like that. That was one of the reasons why I really kind of liked, Perlmutt. Perlmutt had some really good features that I liked. One of the biggest things was you could access it without through both the web, and it didn't need the goofy web sort of interface. You didn't need that, and it already runs on that little computer too. I don't think it was really so much object oriented. It was mostly just getting around and telling and, you know, talking to people. If we put it behind the behind an authenticated thing, that kind of makes it so we don't have so much man-in-the-middle attacks, but you really don't end up having man-in-the-middle attacks particularly. somewhere between both of those things. Because the way I was doing my thing for scum VM sort of thing was that you would see where you obviously needed to go and things like that. And the tests of gospel knowledge are kind of groovy. So I wonder if we can get the BBS to act that way better and help people to level up, kind of automatic leveling up system. That makes something interesting. We'll have to look around in Synchronet BBS and see how it runs and start doing these things. You don't really get to be a sysop through the system. You know, that's something that's way up high. But well, that thing's really cool. We need to take a look at the whole ACL thing. That's kind of key to this. So the purpose is to draw people in, to have the levels, the telestial, which is kind of the playground where everybody gets to do whatever they want, and there's a lot of graffiti around. I know me, I don't do a lot of policing. But other people, I can deputize other people to do it. Anyway, so that seems like an interesting thing to do, because it usually makes some, you know, like a co-sci soft thing, and they clean things up, and that's beautiful and marvelous and all that. Make changes. As long as you're going to have a lot of crap around. Oh, yeah. All right. So there's various levels. Wanderers, troublemakers. I don't know where I find these people. Anyway. And yeah, do quizzes to qualify for something higher. Kind of like Lord of the Red Dragon. You know, you go out in the forest, you do battle with things, you gain experience and stuff like that. Although there's no battles here. But you get more esoteric things. The higher up it goes, you know, you understand this, you understand the whole concept of this thing. It has to be based on knowledge, because you can't be by doing something, which is a little tricky. So yeah, is it fake? You know, sure it's fake. You go, but like Zion, there's camps outside of Zion. Of course, people were there because it was safer. Anyway, so there's that. So we're trying to find some sweet spot between what do you call it? Between a mush and this BBS. The great part is that the BBS has already worked out all of the interface kinks. Oh, but there's kind of cool thing about the whole mush idea, which is that it's a little more free form, sort of. So anyway, okay, I'm done. I'm off farting around this whole time thinking about this stuff. Talk to you later. Bye.